Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message.
I'm Tom Boyd. My wife and I, we moved here 14 years ago to start a Bible college, and it's been our honor to be involved with that for the last 14 years, and we've just stepped away from that call and stepped into some new things, and we're just super excited about those, and life's an adventure. Yeah, life really is an adventure, and it should be something that we're going from glory to glory. And sometimes it's not just glory to glory. Y'all follow that? It's not just from glory to glory. Sometimes it's glory to glory. You know, sometimes there's a little valleys we walk through. But I just want to speak to you today as brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to trust that everyone here, or most everyone here, is a child of God. You know, if you're not a child of God, or you're spiritually unresolved, okay? If you're spiritually unresolved, I pray that today's message is going to encourage you as well. But I'm going to talk to you like brothers and sisters today. And I do want to impart what the Lord's put on my heart today. And so that's what we're going to do. So I just encourage you just to make yourselves as vulnerable as you can, okay? Make yourselves vulnerable to receive the word from the Lord today, okay? And so I'm going to go into prayer right now. But before I do that, I want to tell you the main text today is going to be from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Actually, it's going to be almost about three chapters in 2 Corinthians we're going to get into today. So if you want to turn there, that's great. But again, I want you to be as vulnerable as you can to receive the word of God today. God's wanting to minister. God wants to minister. He's trying to minister to our hearts as much as we'll yield to him. So I encourage you today to open your heart as much as you can to receive the word of God today. And not receive not the word of Tom today. I want you to receive the word of God today. Okay? And he's a faithful minister. Everybody say the Holy Ghost is a faithful minister. He's a faithful minister, and he ministers to us exactly the way we need to hear things. You know, and I'm just a vessel today. I'm going to be speaking forth the words of God, but guess what? The Holy Ghost is the true teacher. Amen? He's the true teacher, so let's esteem him as our teacher today. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, we esteem you and your work and what you've accomplished on our behalf, and we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for bringing us in the family. Thank you for seeing us. Thank you for your love, Lord. Lord, we open up our hearts to you to receive from you today, to be taught of you today. Holy Ghost, we esteem you as our teacher, and we open our hearts to you to be vulnerable to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you agree with that, say amen loud. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I know we said we're going to start in 2 Corinthians, and we are, but I want to read you a scripture, a set of scriptures here I want to read to you, and I want you to hear these words. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, behold, his natural face is a man beholding a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets the manner of who he was. Man, that's some strong words from the brother of Jesus. That's some strong words. You know, James was saying there, man, if you're just a hearer only and not a doer, It's like you've got a mirror in front of yourself and you don't even recognize who you are. That's pretty strong words. That's strong language, and he's trying to get a point across to us. And we're going to come back to that passage, but I really want to set the tone with that, but that we're not to be hearers only. Man, we're supposed to be doing. You know, and I'm a grace guy, all right? Everybody, I don't know if y'all understand what I'm saying, but I'm a grace guy. In every part of my life, I'm trying to esteem Jesus for what he's accomplished for us in our life. I'm trying to say, Jesus, I trust you. I thank you for everything you've done in my life. And that's what my focus is. And I'm not trying to focus and work for righteousness' sake, but because I realize his great love for me and that I have been made righteous. Because of that, I do. And you understand that? There's a difference between working for righteousness and working because you're righteous. Y'all follow what I'm saying? There's a big difference in that. And so James, the brother of Jesus, he says this is so important. And I want you to see this, that it's not just okay just to hear. Man, I've been a hearer a lot of my life. Probably 90% of my life's been being a hearer. Probably 92, 93, 94. I've been a hearer, okay? But we need to be doers of the word. Tom needs to be a doer of the word. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We all do. All right. So if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter, let's see what I say, 2? Yep. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to jump around. I'm going to be moving through 2 Corinthians chapter 2 through chapter 5. And we're going to be reading some scriptures here. But I want you to get this theme, and I want you to get this idea and understanding that Paul's reaching out to the Corinthians here, and they are a tough bunch of people. I'm telling you, they're tough, they're rough, they're unruly, they're ungodly. They are. This was a rough and tumble group. Man, there was all kinds of stuff going on in the Corinthian church. I mean, infidelity, there was lasciviousness, drunkenness, craziness. They were worshiping idols. They were, and this is the church. Now, Paul called them saints at the beginning of the book. He called them saints. That's pretty good. I mean, he's writing to a bunch of people, and he's calling them out in this letter. He's calling them out, and he's not calling them out to be ugly to them, but he's calling them out to get them to focus on who they are in Christ. Amen? And so as he's writing to them, and I appreciate the strength of this letter. I appreciate the strength that Paul had to say, you know, I'm going to call you out on this, but I'm not going to call you out to point a finger at you. I'm going to call you out to say, hey, this is who you need to behold, and this is who you really are. And if you really are going to be this person, then this is how you act. Is that all right? Man, I love it. This is strong, and I mean, you know, I don't need strong people in my life just to shake their finger at me. I mean, maybe I do need that, Cindy. I don't know. Cindy's my wife. But no, she sees, you know, if Cindy ever shakes her finger at me, she's trying to get me to see who I really am. Is that right, baby? She says, yeah, 90% of the time. Hallelujah. No, but all of us, every one of us, are not living to our full potential. Yeah? There ain't a one of us that's living to our full potential. And man, I want to push that barometer. I want to push that, you know, if I'm only living at 10% of potential, you know, I want to move it 50% higher and move up to 15% and another 5% and keep on and keeping on. I want to continue to grow. And so I'm going to read some verses here to you. You can follow along. I'd love for you to if you can. But in the scripture there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. He causes us to triumph in Christ. He didn't say I cause you to triumph in yourselves. No, I cause you to triumph in Christ. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. It's saying that, man, we should smell good wherever we go. That's what he's saying. He's saying, man, there's a savor, there's a beautiful, sweet savor on us, because everywhere we go, guess what? We're clothed in Christ. Amen? And this is a reality. Paul's speaking to these folks because he wants them to get this understanding that, man, you are walking with Christ. And, man, you've got this beautiful aura, this beautiful smell about you. Cindy was spraying her hair this morning, and I thought she had sprayed perfume, and she was using some spray that smelled good. And I said, you smell good today. And she said, well, that was just hairspray. I was like, can't wait for the real thing. I mean, but we have this savior. We really are supposed to have a savior, a smell, a beautiful smell about us, because in the world can smell. It says in every place that we go, we have this savor, and people can sense that we have the Lord with us. Amen? We are in Christ. Can you say, I am in Christ?
I am in Christ.
In Christ. Man, say it with meaning. In Christ.
In Christ.
Man, I am in Christ. You are in Christ. Hallelujah. That's good news, man. I am in Christ. If you'll flip on over or scroll on down to chapter 3 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And again, I'm talking about us reflecting Christ, being in Christ. In Christ we smell good. We're gonna look like Christ. We're going to resemble Christ. We're going to reflect Christ. Now, see what the Apostle Paul says here in verse 3. For inasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Man, I'm telling you, we are the epistles of Christ. Christ is being read by us. The world around us and our brothers and sisters in Christ about us are being ministered to. We're being read. I'm reading you. You're reading me. The world around you is reading you. And they're saying, I don't know if sister so-and-so is really saved. Or, man, she didn't act like Jesus there. Hallelujah. Now, look, we're going to all mess up. But, you know, there's times when I don't resemble Christ very well. Can y'all admit that? All right, there's about 3/4 of you telling the truth. Hallelujah. There's times we don't resemble him well, and that's not to get down on ourselves, okay? I'm not saying that to, again, point you out, but I'm saying, again, we need to reflect him and reflect him properly. Amen? So he says we're the epistles of Christ, not written on tablets of stone, but written on ink and on the fleshly parts of our heart. Amen? Y'all following me? Thank you, Jesus. All right, hop down to verse 6. Who also has made us, man, thank you, Jesus. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter which kills, but the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen. God has made us able ministers of the new covenant. Now, I'm telling you, that's no small thing that he's saying here, because he's getting ready to contrast what Moses' ministry was, which was written on tablets of stone, and a little bit later on down, he calls it a ministry of condemnation. The tablets of stone being a ministry of condemnation, a ministry of death, it's even called in Galatians. I'm not trying to mix up your theology here, but the writer of the New Testament saying that this ministry of death, it had some glory on it, okay? But if that had glory on it, this new covenant that we are under, say, I'm under the new covenant. Man, say it with belief. I am in the new covenant. Hallelujah. This is not written on hard tablets. It's written on our heart. Amen? And this is the ministry of the Spirit, not of death. So it says there, this ministry of the Spirit, this ministry of the New Testament, what does it do? At the end of verse 6, it says it gives life. This ministry of the Spirit gives life. Now, I'm telling you, if Cindy's shaking her finger at me like this, and she's talking to me like this, and she, you know, I might feel like that's a ministry of condemnation, and I'm, you know, I might feel like it's a ministry of death. But if she's like saying, now look, you're stronger than this, and you're better than this, and I believe in you. Now, what's that? That's more of a ministry of the Spirit, a ministry of life, not a ministry of death trying to squash you, but a ministry of life trying to build you and help you see who you are. And so what this is what this letter is about. This letter is trying to get people to see who they really are in Christ. And he says they're able ministers. Say, I'm an able minister. Man, believe that. I am an able minister of the new covenant. Amen? Man, this has got to be reality to us as believers. It should be. And if this is too strong for you right this minute, that's okay. You can grow in this, and we should grow in this. You know, I said something the other day. Man, we grow up in the Lord. I mean, this is a growth process in the Lord. We don't just, you know, get saved one day and then the next day we're a spiritual giant, right? It just doesn't happen like that. We grow up in the Lord. But I was talking that it would be a horrible thing for us to be 40 years in Christ and still a toddler. Yeah? Who wants to be a toddler in Christ? Boy, nobody wants to be a toddler in Christ. Man, I want to be mature in Christ. Amen? And being mature in Christ is part of the thing about kids is what are you trying to teach kids along the way? One of the main things we're trying to teach them is responsibility. We're trying to teach them how to be responsible kids, how to be responsible in life. We want them to grow up. I do not want my kids growing up and being irresponsible. I do not. Man, that's on me as a parent. And as much as they're irresponsible, a lot of that's on me. At some point, they know better, and they need to start walking out, walking responsible. But, man, I want them to be responsible. I don't want them to be a toddler. You know, I don't want them acting like a selfish toddler. Man, how perverse and ugly is that? Have y'all seen videos? I know you've seen videos of kids acting out. Yeah, come on. That's right. Seen videos of adults coming out, acting out. That is the perfect example. I mean, that's someone who hasn't taken responsibility, hasn't grown in responsibility. And man, we need to. We've got to. And I said it, but it is perverse. It's an ugly thing to see that. It's ugly. But you know what? It's not, you know, God loves us. Hallelujah. But if we're a toddler in Christ, you know, we're 40 years in the Lord and we're still a toddler in Christ. Is that a little bit, should we see that as a little bit perverse? I think we need to grow up. I think me, Tom needs to grow up in the Lord and quit being a baby and quit being a toddler and take on more responsibility. I can say that about myself. Now, if you can say that about yourself too, maybe do a little pat on your chest like me, all right? Nobody's doing it. I see a couple of people did it. I thank you. Hallelujah. Man, we need to grow. Come on. Y'all just participate with me. Do this with me for a second. I'm looking to see who ain't. If you ain't, I'm wondering if you're saved. I need to grow up in Christ. I need to grow up in Christ. I don't need to be a baby anymore. I need to grow up. And there's areas of my life. Man, you know there's areas in your life where you ain't trusting God. Come on. You know there's areas in your life where you're not trusting your Father. I want to trust my Father. I want to say yes. When he speaks that still small voice to my heart, I want to say yes. I don't want to turn and say, nah, God, I got it. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever turn your back to God and say, nah, God, I got it? So that's what's called missing the mark. That's basically saying, hey, I don't trust you, God, in this situation. That's called sin. Missing the mark. That's what sin is. Yeah? Man, I don't want to do that. We don't want to do that, do we? Don't we want to be vulnerable to God and say, God, I trust you. I can trust you. Lord, I want to trust you. In the scriptures where the guy brings his kid to Jesus, he says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Man, we can go through that on almost a daily basis. Yeah? Yeah. We can go through that almost on a daily basis. And we need to trust God. We need to run back to Him. I'm deviating from my sermon here. I hope you're all right with it. Hebrews chapter 4. If you're making a note, you ought to make a note. This one's good. Hebrews chapter 4. You know, before you get to Hebrews chapter 4, there's Hebrews 3. And Hebrews 3 is all about how the children of Israel would not trust the Lord at His word. So before you ever get to Hebrews 4, there's Hebrews 3, and the children of Israel would not trust the Lord. Man. So I'm going to summarize that chapter 3 in verse 19. It says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Man, I want to enter in. I want to enter in into the good land. Y'all know what? I want to enter into the good land. I want to enter in into all that God has for me. I mean, the scriptures there in 2 Corinthians talking about all the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. Do we believe that? I mean, I know we sing it, but do we believe it? All the promises of God are yes and amen. But it tells here for our example, the Hebrew children are our example, and it says that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And that's just basically saying, God, I don't trust you here. And that's what we do from time to time. We say, God, I don't believe I can trust you here. So I'm going to handle this on my own. I don't want to trust in Tom. Man, I've done that. I don't want to trust in Tom. I want to trust in the Holy Ghost in me, who writes on my heart and ministers to me at my heart and says, Tom, I want you to trust me here. I want you to follow me here, son. That still small voice speaks to us. Man, he is so faithful. He is faithful to minister to us. He is faithful to guide us. He's faithful to pull us. Thank you, Jesus. But what I wanted to talk to you right there about, and why I wanted you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, was this. Paul, or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, a lot of people say it was Paul, but we don't really know who wrote it. But verse 11, it says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Man, verse 11 there, he's referring back to the children of Israel that wouldn't enter in because they wouldn't believe God. But he says, for those people who will believe, for those people who will say, yes, Lord, yes, God, there is a rest. There is a rest to the people who will say yes to the Lord. And the historical picture there for us is that these children of Israel are circling out there in the wilderness for 40 years. Forever and ever and ever. And they're just circling around, keep going around the same mountain, keep going around the same desert, never entering into the good land. Man, there's a good land for us. Amen. There's a good land for us in resting in Him and trusting in Him. Amen. Wow. Verse 12. Now, we've heard this verse over and over and over. You probably can quote it. For the word of God is, y'all know what it is? It's quick and powerful and sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. Now, we've probably heard that quoted, and we probably could quote it, and if we went to Vacation Bible School, they probably drilled that one into us. The word of God is. Amen. And it is. All of those things, it just said it is. But there at the very end of that verse 12, it tells you really what the word of God does. It talks about the sword and all this stuff and piercing and dividing and all this stuff. But this is what it does. All that piercing and dividing does this. It's a discerner. The word of God, the God speaking to our heart, the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of Tom's heart. The Holy Ghost speaking to you, when he's speaking to you and encouraging you and trying to move you along and grow you up, it's because he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart, and he knows them. Man, does any of us think that our thoughts are not known by God? I mean, he knows. And when that word of God comes, whether it's a personal word or if it's a word straight from the scripture, and he speaks to our heart, man, he knows it. The word of God gets right down to the marrow. He knows the intents, and he knows the intents of the heart is what it says right there. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then it goes on to say that in verse 13, look, we're naked before God. He knows it all. He knows it all. When I asked you to be vulnerable earlier, man, is there any more vulnerable state than to just be naked? I mean, you know, you're pretty vulnerable. You're feeling, I mean, Dale Carnegie talked about people talking in public settings like this, and he said, you know, just see everybody naked and they're vulnerable. Anyway, that's kind of weird. I didn't mean to say that. But I guess to make you feel confident or something, you know. But look, God sees us. He sees us for who we are. We are naked before him. I mean, everything. I mean, he knows us. He knows us every single way. And it says there in verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, and let us hold fast to our profession. You know what? We're naked before God, but we've got Jesus, our great high priest. He sees us, right? In verse 15, this is what I want to get to, and this is why I want to say this. For ye have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and grace in our time of need. Man, God sees us naked. He sees us for who we are, or who he sees us for what we've been and what we've done. But he wants us to own up to it. Man, how horrible. Again, going back to responsibility. How horrible would it be for me, or for, like you said, even looking at adults, seeing adults showing out. But I don't want to see my kids showing out. Nobody wants to see an adult showing out. Man, I want to take responsibility for my life. I want to take responsibility. Trust in the Holy Ghost to encourage me and speak to me. He is. He's speaking to me, and he's speaking to me, and he says, Tom, straighten up. And he's doing that to each one of us because he's a perfect teacher. He's a great teacher. But when he shows us our stuff, what does he want us to do? He wants us to run boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. Warts and all. problems and all. He doesn't want you to hide. He doesn't want you to shelter yourself. He doesn't want you to just, you know, go into your own little cave and think, I'm the only one that's dealing with this. Nah, he knows. He understood. It said in that verse right before, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Jesus was tempted like you are being tempted. Jesus was tempted to trust in himself. But let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. I just had to throw that in there. I hope that was all right. Thank you, Jesus. So, we were talking about being ministers, able ministers of the gospel. Hallelujah. Let's go on down to verse 17. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Are y'all getting anything out there? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Man, how many times have you caught yourself sounding just like your mama? Fellas, how many times have you caught yourself sounding like your mom or daddy? Yeah? I mean, I'm telling you, we become what we behold. We become what we behold. Now, if you've beheld your mama acting crazy, now look, if we've beheld that kind of stuff, and not even just even beheld that, not even if we've seen that in our parents, but some of that stuff is stamped on our DNA, you know? I mean, you've heard of these stories about children that have been separated from their parents, and somebody who knows the parent and knows the child, they acting out the same way that their mom or dad did. Have y'all heard those stories? Those scientific people talking about this stuff? It's imprinted in there somewhere. Now look, man, I wanna behold my father. My real father. Amen. I wanna behold my father, and I wanna reflect my father to the world. Amen. Man, that's as able ministers of the gospel. This is what, again, going back to what Paul was saying here to the Corinthians, he's trying to encourage them. He's not just shaking his finger at them. He's like, come on now, let's go. You know, come on. Don't quit acting like this. Quit doing this kind of stuff. Behold who you are in Christ. Amen? And then verse 3. Of chapter 4, if you're still following 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Man, we're not helping the world out, basically, is what Paul's saying here. You ain't helping people out, you ain't helping your community of faith out. If you're hiding your gospel, yeah? We're not supposed to be hiding our gospel. We're supposed to be real with our brothers and sisters in our community of faith and the world around us. Why is that? Because we need each other. And the world needs what we have. Amen? Man, do y'all believe that? Do y'all believe the world needs what you have? Man, if our gospel be hid, that's like walking around. Man, I've got this wonderful Father, and he's, you know, I want to observe him, and I want to glorify him. And man, I'm going to tell you a story. It was like our third year running to Bible college. It was like our third year, and I had praise and worship going. You know, it was praise and worship chapel. And I'm up there, front row, and I'm blessing the Lord. And I said, Lord, we worship you in spirit and the truth. And I heard it. I heard that word speak right to my heart, like it says there, and like we read in Hebrews. It cut right to the marrow. And the Holy Ghost said to me, I know exactly how you worship me. Man, I was silent. Here I am, you know, moved 1,600 miles, start a Bible college up there. Lord, we praise you. We worship you in spirit and truth. I know exactly how you worship me. I was like, what in the world? What? What are you talking about? Man, God knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows what's going on us and going on in us. And I don't know why I told you that story, but I'm telling you, we're naked before God, and he knows exactly where we're not trusting him. He knows exactly where we're trusting him. He knows what our default goes to. Yeah? He knows these things, but he wants us to see ourselves as able ministers of the gospel. And folks, you are. He's not going to call you something and not give you the grace and the empowerment and the ability to do it. Man, can I get an amen on that? Amen. Amen. God's not going to just say, you know, you should do this. You should be an able minister of the God and then not empower you to do it. How cruel would that be? That would be cruel. That we wouldn't do that to our own kids. Man, that's good preaching, Tom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so hallelujah. We're able ministers of the gospel. We got to see ourselves like that. We need to reflect God. We need to behold God for all the beauty that he brings to us and all that he is. Amen? I mean, we've got beautiful earth around us. Sometimes, you know, here in a couple months or maybe next month, we're going to see all these trees start turning this beautiful orange gold color. I mean, that's beauty. God made that. He made it for our visual purposes. We can see things in nature. We can see things in life. We can see beauty all around us. And we need to. We need to see these invisible and visible attributes and say, thank you, God. Amen. We need to say, thank you, God. Man, our hearts need to be saying thank you, God, a lot. In fact, the best prayer you can be doing is going around saying, "Woo, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah." All right, so we're talking about being able ministers of the gospel. Now, verse 14, it's really important that we see things like Jesus sees things, all right? Jesus saw people, yeah? He saw people. In Matthew chapter 9, we're not going to go there, but Matthew chapter 9 said that Jesus was coming through the town and he was walking about and he was ministering to folks and he saw that people were beat down and distressed. Y'all seen any beat down and distressed folks? I know we have. Man, they're all about us. They're all about us. Beat down and distressed folks are all about us. And Jesus, it says, he saw them. He saw them. Y'all remember that movie Avatar? Any of y'all seen that movie Avatar? Remember when that girl says, what was she? That blue thing? That blue girl? She says, I see you, or something like that. Y'all remember that? I see you. Yeah, okay. Man, Jesus sees us at our core. He sees us. Yeah? Jesus sees us. He sees us for who we are. And he ain't giving up on us. All right. But that's what I was going to say. Jesus saw people. I'm sorry. Jesus saw people. He saw that, man, they were beat down. They were distressed. They were struggling. Man, he saw them. And then he goes on to say, he says, the harvest is plentiful. Yeah? Man, do y'all believe the harvest is plentiful? The believers in here that say, I want to be an able minister of the gospel, is the harvest plentiful? Yeah, the harvest is plentiful. But it says, goes on and says, but the workers are few. Let it not be said. Amen. Let it not be said about me. Y'all do the same thing. Say, let it not be said about me. Yeah, mean that in your heart. Let it not be said about me that the laborers are few. Man, you've got an important role to play in the gospel being spread. They're not all going to come to the outlet. They're not all going to come to your place of worship, your community of faith. They're not going to come. They're not all going to come. Some are going to come. But man, they're going to read your gospel, what we already read there. They're going to read your letter, and they're going to say, I want some of that. I want one of them. I want what she's got. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Vince, do I have enough time? How much time I got, brother? I got 5 minutes? He says, bring it home, brother. Wow. Jesus, help me. For the love of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Verse 14 says that the love of Christ, it compels us, it constrains us. Now, I'm telling you, it is super important that we focus on the love of God and see Him as the one who's trying to encourage us, that's trying to grow us up, that's trying to help us. It is so important. If we have got to see that love, okay, that love, we've got to see it for ourselves, because that is what compels us. Ain't nothing else going to compel you. Ain't nothing else going to compel you. You can't work this up. If you're not perceiving the love of Christ, if you're not beholding the love of the Father, you will not be compelled to be an able minister of the gospel. Well, those are strong words, probably the strongest words I've said so far, but you have got to get this. If we do not focus on the love of Christ, the love of God, if we do not focus and make that paramount in our mind and our hearts that we are going to receive God's love, you can't give what you do not have. And I'm telling you, the world around us needs love. They need to understand the love of God in a way that they've never heard before, the way they've never understood before. Man, they've always heard of the love of God plus rules. The grace of God plus rules. I'm preaching good now, and I got 4 minutes. Hallelujah. You've got to perceive this love of God. It's the most important thing you can do for yourself and for the people and community around you. If you don't do this for yourself, you're not going to be able to give it to them. I'm sorry. You're going to give them some perverse thing. They're going to try and do it on their works. No, it's the love of Christ, the love of God that you've got to get in your heart. You've got to perceive it. You've got to mine it. You've got to delve into it. Amen. And Jesus died for all, verse 15. And they which live... Y'all say, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but now unto Him who died and rose again. I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm not supposed to be. Man, there's times where I am living for myself, but Paul's trying to tell us here, quit living for yourself. Quit just focusing on yourself. Focus on my love. Be compelled by my love. Henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. Wow. Paul's telling us here, I want you to see people like God sees people. And God does not see people after the flesh. He don't see you after the flesh. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, your heart better be thankful right now. I mean, he does not see you after the flesh. I just read the scripture. That's what it says. Y'all can stone me later, but I'm telling you, that's what the scripture says. It says that we see no man after the flesh. So how do we see them? We see people after their potential. We see the people the way God sees people. God sees people after their potential. Amen? Every person out there, God wants in the family. He wants them to be operating and be in the family of God. Amen? He wants them in the family. They may not come in the family, but he wants them in the family. And we can't, if we don't share that with them, if we don't let them know what I'm getting ready to tell you, here we go. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God. Y'all still with me? 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. Y'all see that? And what did he give us? He has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. You've been given a ministry. Say, I am a minister. If you're born again in here, say, I am a minister. I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Amen? You've been given this ministry of reconciliation. And it's this: to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us this message, this word of reconciliation. You've been given a ministry, and you've been given a message by which to preach. God is not imputing your sins to you. He has reconciled himself to you. And this is the message we preach. Amen? Not that now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's what we're telling folks. Be ye reconciled to God. Amen? I'm going to read this last verse and I'll stop. This is just down a little bit further in chapter 6, verse 2. I'm sorry, verse 1. He says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech ye that ye receive not this grace of God in vain. You know, if we're given a beautiful gift at Christmas or any time, birthday or whatever, and we say, wow, thank you. Thank you so much. And it's got a beautiful bow on it. And it looks beautiful. And then we say, well, thank you. That's awesome. And it sits over in the corner and it gathers dust. And no, that's not what a gift was meant for. It was meant to unwrap. It was meant to untake off. And it was meant to open up. And it's meant to try on. And it was meant to see how this fits on me. It was meant to test it. Amen? That's what a gift given. I mean, why would we put it in the corner? No, it was meant to be put on. It's meant to be tried. Amen? And the Lord has given us this. And it said right there in that verse that, man, don't let this grace of God, this empowerment, don't let this empowerment from God go in vain. Man, I don't want any gift given to me by God to be given in vain. But that part's up to me, and that part's up to you. Amen. So I'm going to close in prayer right now. You know, I don't know what I've said, if I've said it's hit home to you, but I want you to see more than anything that you are an able minister of the gospel. You are an able minister of the gospel. And I want you to see that. I want you to read that. I want you to perceive that. I want you to experience that. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are the teacher, that you are teaching us all perfectly as we open our hearts to you and are made vulnerable to you, make ourselves vulnerable to you, Lord. I want you to teach me, Lord. May this be the prayer of every heart in this room. I want you to teach me, Lord. If you agree, I just encourage you to say that out loud. I want you to teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Lord, so we open our hearts to you. Not just today, but every day. Lord, I thank you for bringing things to our remembrance. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you touch us, and you touch us, and you go right down to the marrow, and you show us, not condemning us, but to bring us around to being who we are in you. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice, everything you accomplished on our behalf. With grateful hearts, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything good in my life. Thank you for helping me and gracing me and being merciful to me when I missed the mark. Thank you that you set me back on the right path. Thank you, Jesus. So if you receive that, say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Like on my heart for everyone here, just really quick, and Ashley wouldn't let me sit still in my seat. I appreciate your willingness to hear what Tommy had to share today, but I just feel like that, ask God to help me communicate to your hearts what I feel like he wants communicated. You know, my kids, he brought this story back to me years ago, and actually still today, my kids would come home sometimes and they'd have a really bad grade on the test. Or maybe they didn't get good marks at school that week. And they graded themselves according to what that paper said. And as a mom, they would come home and I'd say, darling, you're not who that paper says you are. You can do better. You know, that number doesn't identify you. And so I think what God wants you to understand is that no matter if you've missed the mark this week, that's not who you are. That's the whole purpose of what Tommy has shared today, is to really understand that no matter what your shortcomings are, don't focus on those things. That's not who you are. Your mess-ups don't identify you unless you allow them to. Focus on him and allow him to identify who you are. Be identified in him. We are in Christ. We reflect him and his nature to the world around us. And that's where that ministry begins. It's in your interactions every day, being that representation of God to your family first and then to the world around you. So I just had that on my heart to share, and I appreciate you taking that in. I just want you to be encouraged that, you know, you have that nature residing on the inside of you. There's a little song I used to sing. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. Right? God does need what we have. It's because it's Him. The world needs Him. They need His nature. They don't need us showing out at home or anywhere else. And it starts at home first. It's easy for me to show out with Tommy Boyd because I know he's going to love me. He's going to say, girl, you messed up, you know, there for a minute, but he's going to love me. And it's easy. I feel safe for him, safe with him. It's easy for me to just show out with my husband. But I just want to encourage all of you, you know, identify with Christ. You all reflect Him. You're reflecting as you sit right here in this room, and He loves you.